You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Stick to Football, the live version. If you're joining us in the BR app, welcome. And if you're listening in podcast version, hi, we're going to have some fun today. We get to grade the AFC West draft classes. 30 minutes of mellow gushing about why no one can stop the Kansas City Chiefs. I hope you all are ready. The rest of this division also did pretty well. If you missed the news on Monday, you get today and you get tomorrow, then Stick to Football is going on vacation. We are already planning virtual vacations. Matt, Mello, and Connor Rogers, we are excited. Hopefully you guys are as well. Today is going to be fun. You guys leave your draft on draft questions right here in the comments below, or you can even tweet them at us. Just use that hashtag. If you're old, that's the pound sign on your phone, and then draft on draft.
Ah, I was confused what they meant by hashtag. Thanks for clearing that
up. Pound sign, there it is. All right, let's get right into these grades. I'm excited today. Mello, let's just get all this out of the way off the top. You can gloat. Your team won the Super Bowl. Yada, yada, yada. You've been a fan for two years.
It's my last chance to rant about the Kansas City Chiefs for a while. So buckle up, folks, because I'm going to do it today. Not really. I actually didn't like their draft. I'm going to give this thing an F because I don't see the need in a running back this early.
I can't believe you're joking.
For the Kansas City Chiefs. Do I like the fit in Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Yep. I sure do, but I don't think it was a position of need. I think that this team can win a Super Bowl with anybody on roster at running back, including myself, and they took the fifth best one that I had in this class. He's going to be great. He's going to be a Pro Bowler. I've said it on this show before, but I don't like the draft. And what they did with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I had to brace myself for them taking a running back. It's going to work out. It's going to look great. But any running back could have looked great here. You also could have taken a corner. Corner's a huge need. Defense is a huge need. So I said I'm going to give this grade at an F. I'm actually going to change it to a C for corner because you could have taken a corner in the first round, and also a C for championships because it doesn't matter who the Chiefs draft. They are still going to be the champions and probably run it back and win another Super Bowl.
I'm so confused as to what your actual grade is.
That's what makes this so tough. We could sit here and absolutely kill this draft, and it doesn't mean we don't think that the Chiefs are going to be, you know, not in the Super Bowl this year or anything like that. So I'm actually with you here, Mello. I give this a C-. So I was a little more harsh on it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's going to be a really good player for Andy Reid. Did they need to take a first-round running back, especially somebody that is not DeAndre Swift? I don't think so. So I thought this was a team that desperately needed help at the cornerback spot. There were plenty of them on the board, not just in the first round, but also in the second round when they took Willie Gay. Now, Willie Gay has a ton of athleticism. Of course, that's really, really exciting. But the problem was, guys, he was an average college linebacker. Sure, you can Google the combine numbers, the athleticism. It's elite. There's no doubt about that. But he was just an average player in college. So do I think he brings more speed, sideline to sideline range, and hopefully some coverage ability to the Chiefs front seven? He does. But is this enough for this defense this year? I don't believe so. That's my problem. They didn't do enough for the defense. Is Chris Jones going to show up on that franchise tag number this year? Even if he does, even with Honey Badger and hopefully Juan Thornhill getting fully healthy, I don't like what they have at cornerback. They had two shots to address that. They chose not to. So the Chiefs are going to be really, really good this year, but I don't like what they did in the draft.
Yeah, guys, I'm right there with you. I don't actually know what grade Mello gave, but I gave them a C as well. No corner was huge for me. I mean, even with Bashaud Breeland's legal troubles coming after the draft, I don't think you could roll in. I like Javarius Ward a lot. I do not think that Rashad Fenton is going to be a top, really a top two starter at the corner spot for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I feel like they got a little bit cute. I love Clyde the Glide. He was my number two back in this class when it was all said and done. I like him. I did not think they needed to draft him at 32 overall when, as you guys said, J.K. Dobbins, if he had been there at the end of round two, is not that different. And I think that is one of the concerns was, okay, where is the run on the running back position going to happen? Because you want to make sure you get one before you draft again at 63. But I still think, like, even if you had taken Zach Moss, Like, you're still getting a big upgrade. Or Darrington Evans. Like, there were other guys you could have taken instead of Clyde. And I love Clyde. If you're a fantasy football player, you are taking him very early. And he's going to catch 50 or 60 passes in this offense. It's going to be fantastic. But I still think it was a little bit cute. Let's talk about Lucas Niang. They need a young offensive lineman. Martinez Rankin, we'll see when he's going to be able to play in one of those guard spots. But Eric Fisher, getting older. Mitchell Schwartz, getting older. It's not time yet to cut bait on these guys. So I did like the move to get a kind of a developmental offensive lineman in the third round, someone who is coming off a hip injury. I think that's why he fell in the draft. Player who didn't give up a sack the last 3 years in college. Lucas Niang has some ability. I do wonder where they're going to transition him. Is he a guard? Is he a tackle? Where are we going to see him play at the next level, guys? But this was, I honestly think, like the biggest need they checked off. I'm not a believer that Willie Gay is going to be able to make a huge splash right away. And I'll echo it again. The secondary is a problem. But when you can score 50, who cares who your corners are? Maybe it actually doesn't matter that much. They didn't seem to think so. Let's go to the Denver Broncos, the team that finished second in this division last year and I believe has closed the gap a little bit with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mello, Denver maybe has their guy in Drew Locke. It seems like they have some building blocks on offense. You bring in Melvin Gordon, it seems like they're ready to take that step.
I think this was the best draft class in the AFC West, and the Denver Broncos really hit it on the nail on the head here. Jerry Jeudy was the number one receiver on my board, and they get him this early. He falls to him. Drew Locke has just got to be mouth-watering with the targets that he has, with guys like Jeudy and Hamler to go along with what they already had with Sutton and Noah Fant at tight end. This is a team that really scares me as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and then you get some protection later on. I really like what they did, and I think they had a strategy going into this draft. Protect Drew Locke and give him some targets. They did a very good job of that. I'm going to give them an A-. Chiefs fans, Chargers fans, Raider fans, you all should be nervous about what the Denver Broncos are doing and what they're building with Drew Locke.
I was a huge fan of this draft as well. I gave it a flat-out A. Now, we're very curious to see, can Drew Locke build off of an impressive rookie stretch last year? That's what everyone wants to see. But did they put things around him, weapons and good talent around him, to excel? Yes, they did. Absolutely. When I look at this draft, sure, I love Jerry Jeudy. KJ Hamler, very dynamic speed threat that can work out of the slot. When they have Cortland Sutton and Jeudy playing on the outside, Jeudy can play in the slot as well. But also, two picks that I look at here, guys. Lloyd Cushenberry, they needed to find a center after losing Connor McGovern. They got really good value with Cushenberry all the way at 83. And then even McTelvin Agim, somebody that was a former five-star recruit on the defensive line and just kind of got lost in a very, very poor Arkansas program. So when I look at what the Broncos did, this wasn't a one-player draft. This wasn't a, hey, they got two awesome receivers. We're talking about them so much because of fantasy football. Even going all the way down to Wake Forest linebacker Justin Sternad, I felt like they got pieces. This could be a five-player draft, which is very rare to see in the NFL, but I feel that good about what Denver did here.
Yeah, I like this draft a lot. I love that they maybe have identified the quarterback of the future. I think as a collective, we really believe in Drew Locke taking that next step. So instead of doing what we've seen other teams of like, hey, we have a good young quarterback. Yeah, now he can go figure it out. They said, let's get you Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler to go with Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, Melvin Gordon. You add Albert O from Mizzou as well. Like, they really built that cushion for Drew Locke. My biggest concern with this entire draft is they did not address the offensive tackle position. You're going to go into the 2021 offseason. Garrett Bowles is not your long-term answer at left tackle. I would have loved to have seen maybe that round three pick where they took the corner out of Iowa. Maybe you go offensive tackle there instead. So I think next year, that's going to be a gigantic need for them. The offensive tackle class looks early like it's going to be pretty strong, but you got to think this is a team that, man, they should be all over Jason Peters, who's available as a free agent right now. I mean, that is a move for them. I am going to give it an A+, though. Thought they had a very, very good draft overall. And again, you have to give credit to a team that is willing to go get playmakers for your young quarterback. They did that with the two receivers early on, guys. So we're going to take just a little bit of a break, then we'll get to the rest of the division. We have to tell you that today's show is sponsored by State Farm. With the State Farm mobile app for roadside assistance, State Farm is able to assist you quicker than John Ross at the Combine. And unlike John Ross, State Farm won't lie about the 40 time. State Farm will not languish on the Bengals IR for years. I threw that other part in myself. State Farm's help was so fast that they were confident enough to skip the Combine and focus on their pro day. Unfortunately, due to recent circumstances, attendance at the Pro Day was scarce, causing many people to question the 4-2-2 the State Farm reportedly ran. State Farm is the rare prospect that is quick and fast. Thank you, State Farm, for supporting Stick to Football. I'm going to take shots at John Ross's 40 time every chance we get on this show.
Until he comes out and he's like, actually, I ran a 4-3.
Until he runs it again and runs a 4-2-2, I'm never going to believe that that's going to happen. That will be my great conspiracy theory. Don't forget, y'all can leave draft on draft questions right here in the comment stream. We're going to answer a couple of those at the end of the show. If you missed it, C's across the board, I think, for the Chiefs. Yep. Melo gave a couple different grades. And then A's across the board for the Denver Broncos. So we're in agreement thus far. The Las Vegas Raiders, their stadium looks like a Roomba, but they had a pretty good draft. Connor, you get to go first on this. Grade and thoughts for those Las Vegas Raiders.
A top-notch draft for the Las Vegas Raiders. This was an A-minus for me, guys. When you look at what they did, we loved Henry Ruggs. We love the speed element he brings. Yes, Damon Arnett was a reach. There's no doubt about that. I had him more in the third round kind of range instead, but they made up for it. Lynn Bowden Jr. is going to play a little running back, a little wide receiver, do it all. One of the best yard-after-catch guys in the entire draft. Brian Edwards, a big-bodied possession player, four-year starter in the SEC. That's rare kind of stuff. And when you look at what Lynn Bowden can do on special teams as well, they just infuse this offense with talent around Derek Carr. They've been building the offensive line for a couple years. We know how special of a player Josh Jacobs already is. Darren Waller at tight end. But now you bring in all of these weapons, the speed of Ruggs, the possession ability of Edwards, Bowden, the ability with the ball in his hands. Then on day three, you go get what I thought were two starters and guard John Simpson out of Clemson, just a powerhouse. Typical kind of player for their scheme in the trenches. And a slot corner in Amik Robertson that I thought was a second round player. You get him at pick 139. I love what Mike Mayock and John Gruden did in this draft. And even with the reach on Arnett that was a little difficult to explain, it felt like they made up for it in other areas. So a nice A minus for Vegas.
And I like this draft too. I actually like every pick that they have outside of the Arnett deal. And I like Arnett. I don't think he's a bad corner. I think that Mayock just has to learn how to work that draft board. Move down and get the guy that you are targeting. I mean, we saw it with Cleveland Furl, and we see it again here with Arnett. Learn how to work that board, man, because you got great picks here.
I'm going to give it a B plus
because I do like every pick that they had. They looked at that receiver position and said, man, we need a lot of help. Let's go get Ruggs, and let's get Brian Edwards. I think those two guys complement each other very well. Yep. Edwards was a guy that was hurt, and if he were able to go through this draft process healthy, like everyone else, I don't think he's available there in the draft when he is. I think he's a second-round guy. You can see him here. He can separate. He's a big body guy. Derek Carr's going to love him. And when you have Henry Ruggs opposite of this guy, you've got some weapons there to work with in Las Vegas. They should have named their stadium the Roomba because these guys are going to be cleaning house.
Oh, baby. He's also a great punt returner, Brian Edwards is. If you're watching the show, you can see the B-roll. He's a fantastic route runner. Again, just the injuries. He had two kind of freak injuries, one at the Senior Bowl, one in training that kept him from being able to participate. I like Brian Edwards a lot. Guys, I'm so torn on this draft. I love Henry Ruggs. What they did, they got a ton of starters, as Connor highlighted. They didn't have any picks in rounds 5, 6, and 7. I think that makes their draft even look a little bit better as well, because like all these are household names. Even like Tanner Muse, you're getting, as Connor said, starter-level players in the fourth round because they didn't have those later picks. I cannot get over the Damon Arnett pick, though. There's a difference between evaluating and valuing guys. And Mike Mayock right now is a good evaluator. He's not good at the valuation portion. But look at this, man. Henry Ruggs at third is just so special. And we said it, I felt like, for months on this show of now the Raiders could have their Tyreek Hill-type wide receiver. And it seems like they're set with Derek Carr at quarterback. Like, this is two drafts in a row now. They haven't made a move at quarterback. They're giving Carr those weapons to try and prove himself, to get back to who he was when he was having kind of an MVP caliber year before he got hurt several years back. So giving him those weapons, I do like that a lot. I gave it a B+. The Arnett pick brings this way down for me. I think otherwise we're talking about the Raiders as having one of the best drafts in the entire 2020 class. Now, how about the LA Chargers? They were connected to everyone before the draft. And then it was like, you know what? Whichever quarterback gets past Miami, that's who they're going to draft. That's what they did. Connor, you get to take it away. I know you were not the biggest Justin Herbert fan.
I was not. I thought he was a second-round player. I thought he was a developmental player. Had him evaluated almost identically to how I evaluated Josh Allen. But something I liked more about Allen was his mindset and demeanor on and off the field. So I thought that even separated them, why I liked Herbert less. The physical talent is there, guys. Now, the mental aspect of the game, processing, is something that he will simply have to get better at. You're going to see the splash throws here, the ability to throw the ball down the field, some anticipation throws, not a ton, really good athleticism. I really like Kenneth Murray. You obviously got the best returner in the draft in Joe Reed. Alohi Gilman is somebody that can play special teams, but overall, this draft, nobody's going to remember this draft for Joe Reed and Alohi Gilman, guys. And not even Kenneth Murray, who I think is going to be a good player. They're going to remember this draft for what Justin Herbert becomes. If you're the sixth overall pick in the draft at quarterback, you better be almost a star. You need to really be at least a top 12 quarterback. I have said this for months, maybe even a year now. I don't think that's Justin Herbert's ceiling, guys. I don't. I don't think he'll ever be a top 10, top 12 quarterback. So unfortunately, the Chargers, they did some good things. That defense, going to be a ton of fun to watch. I really like Anthony Lynn. I think he's actually an underrated coach in the NFL. But this draft, because of the household name they attached to it, it was a C for me.
And I'm going with a B+ here. I like what they did outside of Herbert. Again, I don't like Herbert either. Me and Connor pretty much agreed on that. Second round guy, developmental. Maybe he'll get to sit behind Tyrod for a year or two and figure out how to play this game and how to play the position, really. But when you look at a guy like Kenneth Murray that they traded back into the first round to get, it's one of my favorite linebackers I've ever seen. This guy does everything. And now you have Kenneth Murray patrolling the middle of the field with Derwin James. That is terrifying. Like, that will literally give running backs and receivers nightmares with what this guy can do. He was a tackling machine at Oklahoma. Has speed, too, though. There's a lot of question after his sophomore year. Does this guy have speed to get sideline to sideline? He went out and proved it his junior year. I love what they're building on this defense. It's going to be scary. I don't know how you beat the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think that the Chargers are trying to load up on defense to say, let's try our best to slow these guys down. And maybe it works. I love the pieces that they're adding on the defense.
Well, that's where I was going to come in. I don't think this draft closes the gap with you in Kansas City. We saw what Denver and Las Vegas did. They added weapons on offense because you're basically saying, we can't stop Mahomes. Let's just try to keep up. So let's add receivers. The Chargers didn't do that. They took, in my opinion, I'm with you guys, a developmental quarterback. I was higher on him than either of you, but still developmental player. You did not address the left tackle position, which is a gaping hole in a conference and in a division that is so good at the pass rusher spot. Frank Clark is going to eat over there. Max Crosby is going to eat over there. I mean, they're going to be all day.
And Von Miller
and Bradley Chubb, right? And your left tackles suck. I'm sorry. Unless you're going to sign Jason Peters here and maybe Larry Warford, your offensive line is not good enough no matter who's back there at quarterback. So when I look at that, I love Kenneth Murray. I liked Joshua Kelly just fine. Joe Reed and KJ Hill are a lot of fun. It's kind of smaller, really productive college football receivers. But if you're a Chargers fan, and I'm not sure there are actually any of you, but if you are a Chargers fan somehow, there's no effing way you're sitting there today being like, you know what? We're beating the Chiefs after this draft. This is the one. This is going to do it. We're beating the Chiefs. No, you're not. You're not doing it. You're not even beating the Broncos after this draft.
To be fair, that's 31 other teams.
Maybe. I gave it a B, and as I'm talking, I wish I'd given it like a C. Like Connor said, it's all about Herbert. If he outplays all of our expectations, then maybe this turns into something. I think on his best day of his entire life, he's like Carson Wentz on the best day of his life ever. And Carson Wentz isn't a top 10 quarterback. Sorry, Adam Lefkoe. So, all right, that was my rant. Chargers get a B. Those are our grades for the AFC West. Don't forget tomorrow, NFC West, where I get to rip apart my favorite team, the San Francisco 49ers. Hey, let's play a little game real quick. Forget Melo. First person to leave hashtag STF in the comments, we're going to send some free swag your way. First person, hashtag STF in the comments. We're going to throw some BR gear your way. Our producers will take care of it. So, just to reward our amazing stickies for hanging with us here on YouTube and in the Bleacher Report app, free swag.
I love it. I mean, you throw me a free shirt, I'm wearing it probably the next day.
I do know that about you. All right. Let's pick division winners. I don't know that we need to really go into this. Melo, you want to take it
first?
No,
I think we do because this is a very competitive. No, it's not. It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. And I can say that after ripping apart their draft. And even though I'm a Chiefs fan, I think they are head and shoulders above everybody else. Denver's making it competitive, but they're not there yet. We'll see what Drew Lock can do. But for right now, it's the Kansas City Chiefs for the foreseeable future.
I think it's the Chiefs as well. It'd be hard to pick against them only because it's very hard to pick against Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. Now, do I think things could be a little bit more competitive this year? I definitely do. I look at their defense. There are some holes. There are some questions. Is Chris Jones going to show up? That's a big question for me right now, but I will not pick against Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaving it too. Yeah, you just don't pick against Patty after what he's done for 2 years. I'll pick the Chiefs as well. All right, let's get into some draft on draft questions. Don't forget tomorrow, NFC West breakdown right here, 5 p.m. Eastern time. First question, though, from Taking the High Road. If you were a GM in the AFC West, what would your bigger priority be? Stacking up on defense, on defensive studs, or powering up your offense to keep up with Kansas City? So do you want to go the Denver model, the Vegas model, or whatever the hell the Chargers did? Connor, you want to take this one first? You going offense
or
defense?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to. I mean, I think we've gotten to see both of it, which is exciting. I personally would go the model that the Raiders and Broncos clearly outlined. They went to the draft and said, hey, we need playmakers across the board. And that doesn't mean we need a number one wide receiver. That doesn't mean we need a number two wide receiver. That means we need three wide receivers that are fully capable starters with differing skill sets. When you look at the Raiders, they have an elite speedster in Henry Ruggs. When you look at the Broncos, they have an elite speedster in KJ Hamler. Obviously, teams have possession guys. Bryan Edwards, Cortland Sutton is just an absolute freak. Jerry Jeudy, Lynn Bowden. They're just, and then I talked about the tight end running back situation already. They're loaded at all of those spots, absolutely loaded. They're going to go into it and say, hey, we're going to try to outscore the Chiefs. That's what I would do. The Chargers side was clearly, hey, we need the most speed we can possibly have on defense to match up with these guys. You saw it as they moved up for Kenneth Murray. You've seen it with their free agency. You've seen it with their drafts over the years. So when I look at it, I would go offense for offense.
I think it's a bold strategy, and I have the perfect plan on how to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm just not going to share it with anybody. My personal use only.
No, I think I would go offense as well, because not only do you want to try to you want to keep pace with that Chiefs offense, the Chiefs defense is not that good. I mean, I know, hot take, but like a linebacker and corner, not that good. So I would rather
no
offensive weapons. No corners at all. I like Ward. I like Ward well enough.
But just keep rubbing it in, guys.
They don't have the corners. Yeah, bulletin board material. My team has one corner as well. I can't really talk any trash here. But I would go that. So you're not only adding to try to score, but you're attacking their weakness on defense. So I think that is a smart way to build a team.
What I would actually do here is I would disagree with both of you guys. I'd load up on defense. I would do exactly what the Tennessee Titans are doing. I would load up on two running backs, one hell of an offensive line, and a great defense, and say, Pat Mahomes can't beat us if he's sitting on the sideline. And then you pray that he dislocates a kneecap or throws an interception when he's doing his no-look pass. I really think that's the only way you have a chance to beat these guys. Control the clock, go back to 1980s football, and just run the ball down that defensive throat. I think the 49ers started to do it. The Titans have had success doing it. I hate to put that out there, but I think that's the only way you can. I don't think anybody can outscore this offense.
That's what the Packers are apparently going to try to do with A.J. Dillon and a fullback in the third round. All right, second question from Andrew C10. How big of a leap does Drew Lock take in year two with all the talent the Broncos got around him? Melo, you get this one first.
I mean, I think that Drew Lock could be an MVP candidate in year two. We've seen Pat Mahomes win the MVP in year two. We just saw Lamar Jackson do it.
Kyler Murray.
That's what I...
No, that's who I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Screwing me up here. I think it can be Drew Lock with the talent that is around him. I don't know if he will win the MVP, but I do think that that could be his ceiling. His floor may be a little bit lower, but I am a big Drew Lock believer.
Yeah, I think when you look at it with Drew Lock, there's no doubt there should be a big jump this year. I think it goes back to something Matt said, though, earlier in the show. I still have concerns about the offensive line, guys. And I am here to tell you that an offensive line can wreck a young quarterback quicker than anything. It doesn't matter who you have at wide receiver or running back. So I'm expecting good things for the Broncos offense this year. I'm expecting good things for Drew Lock, but I do think there will be games at times where that is significantly capped because of the pass protection issues.
I hate making this comparison because I really like Drew Lock. It feels a little Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Browns year two, where it's like, look at all my weapons, and then they forget
without the
that
hype.
You have to be able to pass
without
protect.
Without the Baker
you know?
Hype.
It's like, right, without the hype and without, you know, all the social media stuff. So I do think that, yeah, the weapons are fun and the tools are great. They really are. He has an exceptional arm. He's a good athlete. But that offensive line is really bad. And as Connor said, I mean, this is an injured Jets fan speaking from experience with Sam Darnold not you know, we see flashes with Sam. He hasn't been able to take the step because of the line in front of him. Hopefully, Drew Lock, they get that situated for him as well. All right, last question from, I swear to God, I had not seen this before I just spoke. Last question from John Sad Jets fan. Excluding quarterbacks, who would you have as your MVP favorite? So no Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson, no Drew Brees. That's tough.
I think it's got to be Christian McCaffrey. With what he was able to do from the running back position last year, I don't have the notes in front of me. I believe he caught over 100 passes out of the backfield. He's getting receiver credit. He's getting running back credit. And I think a lot of that offense is going to go through Christian McCaffrey this year. If you say no quarterbacks, I'm going to take the running back who's been very productive.
I'll go with the sneaky one. I think Mike Evans can find himself in the conversation, guys. When has Tom Brady thrown to somebody like that in the last couple of years? And I know the problem will be that Chris Godwin is going to eat targets. You know, we'll see what we get from Gronk. He'll always eat some targets. But if I was Tom Brady, every time I'm inside that 20-yard line, I'm looking at Mike Evans. There's no reason he can't catch 15, 16, 17, 18 touchdowns this year on a winning football team.
Can I pull a Bill Polian and say Lamar Jackson's a wide receiver and pick him? Does that count? I don't think that counts. Okay, real answer. Michael Thomas caught 149 passes last year and didn't get that type of recognition. I don't know that he'll catch 149 again this year because Emmanuel Sanders and Alvin Kamara is healthy. But if we can't pick a quarterback, Mike Thomas is my guy. Nick Bosa is my homer pick, though.
Defenders,
it's very, very hard to do. I think you would have to actually break the sack record. Nick Bosa is a sleeper to keep an eye on there. All right, that is our show. Follow us on Twitter at StickToFootball. Follow us right here in the BR app as well. And don't forget, tomorrow, Thursday, last show for a little while as we take a summer vacation, but we'll still be active right here in the Bleacher Report app and on Twitter. You can follow us at Mello, at Connor J. Rogers, and at NFL Draft Scout. We'll see y'all tomorrow.